Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Come on, let's really give them a hand clap today. All of those who've served, those who've sacrificed, those who've fallen, we're thankful for you. Thank you for putting your lives on the line, your time, your energy. You know, we live in a free country because someone was willing to serve and to fall. And because of those people, because of what they've done and the sacrifice they've made, how many know we can live in the greatest nation on the earth? Somebody say amen to that. And I want to pray for everybody that sacrificed, every family that has lost loved ones, for everyone that's been wounded in battle. And I want to show you where the soldier can be found in the scriptures, in the New Testament. Those of you that serve in this capacity, you are an instrument in the hands of God. Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4 says this about people that protect us and make our nation safe. How many know the world that we live in is a world that has evil? There's evil in the earth. There's also good in the earth. And if evil is left unchecked in a fallen world, it does whatever it wants. It steals, it kills, it destroys, it takes over. So it takes righteous men and women and good people to stand against evil. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote about those type of people. He said this, Romans 13, verses 3 and 4. Said, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for people who will stand against evil to make sure we have peace on the earth. Somebody give God a hand clap one more time for providing those ministers in that capacity. Thank you for serving. Come on, let's pray for every person that's lost someone in the line of service. Let's pray for everyone who came back. They might have came back looking whole, but there's scars on the inside because of things they've been through. Come on, let's pray the peace of God and the help of God. Thank you one more time for serving. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for every person who've sacrificed, every person who's given, every person that served. Lord, we thank you that you use them as ministers of good in the earth. And Lord, we thank you that you bless them today. We pray now for all of the families of those who have fallen. We pray that you strengthen them. We ask that the comfort of the Holy Spirit would come and be with them. Lord, take them by the right hand, lead them, and say unto them, "Fear not." Now we pray for everyone who's serving abroad right now, all of our servicemen and servicewomen around the earth. We pray a hedge of protection over them. Come on, pray for them right now. We pray a hedge of protection over them. We pray Psalm 91 that angels hold them up lest they dash their foot against a stone. We pray that the glory of the Lord would be their rear guard. We pray for angelic assistance and intervention. And Lord, we declare that every soldier, every man and woman in service right now in the armed forces, Lord, that are connected to us, we declare that they're coming home whole. We pray that they come home whole, they come home safe. Lord, they fulfill their duty, they fulfill their days, and they come home safe. And in honor, we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. Come on, give God one more hand clap for those that have served us. Thank you. Well, it's good to see you. Anybody glad to be in church on a three-day weekend? Anybody happy you pumped up to be here today? Man, I'm glad to be here. And I want you to turn around to your neighbor. Just tell them this. Say, "You're lucky you got to sit by me today." Let them know they're lucky to get to hang out with you today in church. And I'm always happy to see somebody out here on a three-day weekend. You could be at the lake right now, or you could be hanging out or something, and you're at church, so I'll tell you, you've already won a faith battle. Turn to your other neighbor and tell them you've already won. Just tell them that this morning. Everybody watching online at the lake, we love you, and we'll see you next week, all right? That's what we have to say. You know, last week I started teaching a message called Cursed or Blessed. We found out that if we're Christians, if you were here last week, if not, you ought to go back and watch it. We found out that if we're Christians, that we're a blessed people. And the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham is upon your life. You know, the scripture teaches that there's such a thing as being blessed and there's such a thing as being cursed. How many of you have ever seen anyone or seen a life of someone or maybe a family and it was almost like there's a curse on those people? How many of you have seen that before? Well, the scripture teaches that and talks about that. How many of you have also seen a group of people that it just seems like they're blessed? You see the blessing on their life. And I'm going to show you in the text where it talks about blessing and cursing. And we're going to talk especially about the blessing that God's put on your life. If you have your Bible on you today, I want to show you this. And it is in the book of Galatians. Open up your Bible and let's go to the book of Galatians. There's a good app for the phone called YouVersion. If you need a Bible on your phone, YouVersion's awesome. It's got a whole bunch of versions on there. You could use that. And also, they're going to put the scriptures up on the screen in a moment. But Galatians chapter 3, we'll start reading in verse 9. All right, Galatians 3, verse 9. If you're there, go ahead and say, this morning. All right, Galatians 3, verse 9. Here's what it says. It says, then those who are of faith... Come on, somebody say faith. Those who are of faith, they are blessed with believing Abraham. Let me ask you a question out there. How many of y'all believe that Jesus is the Messiah, died for the sins of the world, and you put your trust in him? Let me see you. So now you are of faith. So you could say this out loud. The Bible says you're blessed with believing Abraham. You could say, I'm blessed. Somebody ought to say, I'm blessed. Come on, say it again. I'm blessed. One more time. I'm blessed. All right. So then those that are of faith, verse 9, are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Starts talking about a curse there. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, here's what Paul writes here. Number one, he says if people don't have Christ as their Redeemer and they're trying to live according to the law and be good enough little boys and girls to be right with God, you can never work hard enough to be right with God. Come on, it's only by God's grace and by what Christ did at the cross that we can receive forgiveness. Is anybody thankful for the grace of God out there today? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for grace because I got some stuff I needed forgiveness from. Come on, somebody. How many of you still need forgiveness on a daily basis most of the time? Amen. We weren't just in the need of a Savior. How many know we need a Savior daily? Let me say that again. We didn't just need a Savior in the past. How many of you need a Savior daily? Come on, somebody. See, Christ is our daily Savior. Daily He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us. So instead of working out the law, the Bible says if you live under that, there's a curse on you. There's the curse of the law. But He says if you believe that Christ was cursed on the cross, He was cursed for us through a crucifixion. And He took the curse upon Himself that blessing might come upon us. So the curse is broken off of our life. And now the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham has been released unto us. See, whenever Christ lifts something off of your life, He's the kind of God that does this. He takes something bad off of us. How many are thankful that the curse is lifted off your life? Amen. But He didn't just lift the curse off of your life. He lifted the curse off of your life, and then He decided, I'm going to put my blessing upon you. And what we do when we come to church is we're learning to move from cursed thinking. Man, cursed thinking produces cursed results. Cursed thinking produces cursed actions. Come on, and cursed actions produces cursed results. So we're learning to move from cursed thinking to blessed thinking. Somebody say blessed thinking. So now, blessed thinking will produce blessed actions. And then blessed actions will produce blessed results. And so what I want you to see now in Christ Jesus, you are no longer cursed. You are no longer broken by the law. You are no longer less than. You are no longer on the bottom. The Bible says now that the blessing of Abraham is on your life. And now what God has blessed is impossible to curse. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Come on, you don't have to be afraid of the darkness anymore. Somebody say, I'm blessed. All right, come on, say it again. I'm blessed. All right, learning to see yourself as blessed, it changes everything. See, if I'm blessed by God, now I'm impossible to curse. What do I believe it means to be blessed? I believe to be blessed means that you're anointed to win, that you're empowered to prosper, and you're impossible to curse. You're anointed to win. How many of y'all like winning? Come on, somebody. Anybody like winning out there? If you like losing, I don't understand you at all. I don't understand you. Because I like to win. I'll beat your four-year-old at checkers and laugh at him. I'm just telling you. Amen? Come on. Now, if you're blessed, you're anointed to win. And now you're empowered to prosper. What does it mean to prosper? It means that what I'm doing does better. That's all it means biblically. Prosper means to push forward biblically. People get all tore up when you say the word prosper. How many of y'all think God wants to help us go forward in life? Amen? So you're empowered to prosper. Look at your neighbor. Tell them you're empowered to prosper. Just tell them that, huh? And I'm telling you, if you're blessed by God, now you're impossible to curse. So now that I'm impossible to curse, I don't have to be afraid anymore. Tell you what, I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of a witch doctor. Come on, somebody. I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. I'm not afraid of scary movies. I'm not even afraid of clowns. I know you're terrified of clowns, but I'm not. Come on. Why? Because I'm impossible to curse. Now, I'm telling you, it's not just me. You're impossible to curse. That same promise goes to every person in Christ Jesus. We ought to give God a hand clap for the love and the truth of his promise. Come on, somebody really ought to worship him this morning. Is anybody thankful for the promise? You thankful for the promiser? I'm thankful for it all. I'm telling you, you're impossible to curse. You're blessed. You're not just blessed with any blessing. All right? You're blessed with the blessing that the whole Bible is written about. There's this blessing. It runs through the whole Bible. Starts in the book of Genesis with a man by the name of Abram. God called him away from his people. He said, I'm going to take you, Abram, and I'm going to make you a great nation. What God likes to do is he likes to call people in life. He says, I'm going to call you out of the darkness that you're in, and I'm going to take you to light. I'm going to call you out of brokenness, and I'm going to take you to wholeness. I'm going to call you out of suffering, and I'm going to take you to a blessing. And Abraham was called by God. God took him and made him a great nation. How many of you have heard of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Talking about the God of Israel. That's the God that we Christians serve. We don't serve the same God as the Muslims. They serve a false God. We don't serve the same God as the Buddhists. They serve a false God. We don't serve the same God of the Krishnas. We serve a real, a true, a living God. Come on, we serve the God of Abraham. We serve the God of Isaac. We serve the God of Jacob. There's no other God that can stand before him. And Abraham was called by God. God said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to put a blessing on you. You're going to be mighty. You're going to be mighty in the midst of all the nations of the earth. You're going to be a special people. You'll even be a peculiar people. How many of y'all know some peculiar church folk? Come on, don't point. Anybody, don't point at anybody right now. If you don't know any peculiar church folk, it might be you. Come on. How many of you know that's the way that works, right? And the blessing of God comes on Abraham. He becomes the Jewish nation. That's who he becomes. And the thing about the blessing of Abraham on the Jews, it is supernatural. I don't know if you've been around here long, you know I love the nation of Israel. I am a fan of the nation of Israel. I'm for Israel. I know the Bible says that the people that bless the nation of Israel will be blessed. Something happened really big in the news about a week ago, and that is that America moved its embassy from Tel Aviv about 40 miles to Jerusalem. Whenever we did that, what we were saying as a country is that we recognize the nation of Israel as the country it is, and we recognize Jerusalem as the property of the nation of Israel, and we side with Israel on this issue and recognize what's happened. And here's what that means. Some people don't know what that means. See, the Bible says if you bless Israel, God will bless you. And if you curse Israel, that God will curse you. And as Christians, we're blessed people. Somebody say amen to that. How many of y'all, you know, you can be a blessed person living in a cursed nation. But how many think it'd be better to be a blessed person living in a blessed nation? Come on, let's give God a hand clap for America making a move to bless Israel. We've done some harsh things to Israel for several years, and this is, I believe, God's restoration in the midst with that decision was an incredible decision. I'm thankful for it. Here's the thing about Israel. Whenever you're blessed, you're going to have enemies. Let me say it again. Whenever you're blessed, you're going to have enemies. How many of you found that it's human nature, in fallen nature, to dislike a lot of people? Carnal humans, typically, that aren't redeemed, that don't understand the principles of God. How many of you noticed that typically they get jealous of those who start to do better than they do in the earth? If y'all ever ran into some jealous people, let me ask you, y'all ever noticed jealousy in the earth? Jealousy operates in the earth, doesn't it? And because of that, Israel, they had this blessing on their life and as a people. And wherever they went in the earth, they would begin to rise up and they would do better, typically in the area of finances. And enemies began to come against them. I'm telling you, they've been persecuted pretty much more than any people group in the history of humanity. I know there's been many persecuted people groups, but Israel had 1 million people killed at one time. 1 million Jews killed by the hand of Hitler at one time, an atrocity. That they're scattered all over the earth multiple times. Their nation where they lived, it just had maybe 10,000 Jews still living there. The nation was gone as a nation. You know what God did about 60 years ago? He began to bring them from the four corners of the earth. And they went out to a barren wasteland. And they reestablished their nation. No other people group has ever done that in the history of humanity. It was the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And I'm telling you, it was the blessing of Abraham that made that happen in their life. They can walk out into a rough ground, nobody's taking care of it, and they can make it produce again. How many of y'all want to see the rough stuff begin to produce in your life? How many of you want to see the barren places begin to flow with water again? How many of you want to see the dead places produce fruit? Come on, I'm telling you, the blessing of Abraham is on your life. Now I want to show you exactly what this blessing is. If it's on my life, what does it look like? Turn over to Genesis chapter 12. Now, there's over 40 some odd listed blessings that are included in the blessing of Abraham. And I'm going to teach all 40 of them today over the next 6.5 hours. So get ready to, no, I'm kidding. I'll probably get through one today. I have 7 written down. I got through one in the first service. But I want you to go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We'll start reading in verse 1. You know, I was just talking about how sometimes you can be blessed. People get jealous of you because of that. Let me give you an example of how that works. Justice and I, we did a little traveling. This last couple of days had some business to take care of, and I took Justice with us, and it's me and Justice. We had a boy trip, you know. He's my 8-year-old son, and so me and Justice and Perry the Platypus, and we had Chewbacca and R2-D2. We traveled together. Some important running mates. If you're going to travel, come on, you want some Star Wars heroes. Somebody say amen. In case the dark side shows up, you can take them out, right? And we're traveling, and on the way back, we're going to stop, and we're going to get his sisters a prize, because I've been gone for a couple days, and I want to bring them something back. By the way, I took that young man with me, because I think young men ought to be around their dads, so they can learn to act like men. How many of y'all think our boys in our church, I believe that we're raising our boys to grow up and be Spirit-filled, God-honoring men. Come on, somebody. That's what we're going to raise, Spirit-filled, God-honoring men. And I watched some guys in the church that are older than me. They've already raised their sons. And I'll tell you, it's my hope that I get to raise my sons to be men like they raised their son. For I got one son right now. I'm saying sons. I don't know. God, somebody pray for me, all right? And but we stop on the way back, me and Justice. Now I'm going to go into a store, and I'm going to get the sisters something, going to get them a gift. Because I've been gone for a couple days. And we go to buy, and Justice says, can I get a gift too? And I said, no. And he says, why not? I said, because my presence is your gift, son. You got to be with me the last couple of days. How many know he didn't like that very much? And I kind of believe that we're blessed, but how many know every day is not our day? We got to learn someday might be our brother's day. Somebody say amen. One day might be our sister's day, right? He's got to learn the lesson. It's like the grandparent that buys gifts. One child's birthday, so they bring all the kids a gift. How many know people need to learn to understand that every day is not their day, right? So I'm looking at Justice. I'm saying, Justice, it's not your day. You don't get a gift today. You got to come on the trip. They're getting a present, a little something. And he gets kind of mad about it, and he goes like second grade gangster, and he's like, we ought to throw their gift out the window. And I'm like, hey, hold on a minute. So you better straighten it up, son. And if you learn to act right about somebody else's blessing, maybe you'll get yourself in a position where God is going to be able to bless you. Because what Justice didn't know is I already was hungry for some ice cream. And if he'll just act right then about somebody else's bag of candy, how many know the father might have a great big milkshake or a great big thing of ice cream? I'm telling you, I believe if we won't be petty when somebody else gets blessed, God's going to have the ability to bless us exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, think, or imagine. Amen? I want to live blessed, and I want to see you blessed. I like it when people do better. As a church, we ought to be each other's biggest cheerleader. Amen? Whenever God's promoting somebody, we ought to get excited. So if I can get excited about your promotion, God can promote me. All right, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Here's what it says. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God speaks to Abraham. Let me tell you where Abraham's living at the time. He's living in the largest metropolitan area out in the Middle East of the time. And he would be like in the New York City of the area. The money's flowing out there. The economy's good. The nightlife's there. The places to eat are there. It's a cultural epicenter. Abraham's living where it's going on. It's like he lived where I live, out in Philpott, Kentucky. Out in Philpott, we've got the finest food, the finest economy. Y'all know I'm kidding right now. You can laugh. That's a joke, right? Abraham's living in Manhattan. God speaks to him. He says this to him. He says, Abraham, I want you to leave where you're at. I want you to get up and go from your comfort. I want you to get up and go from what you know. I want you to get up and go from where you are. And Abraham was like, where will I go? And God gives him an answer. He says, to a land that I will show you. So God calls Abraham to leave where he's at. And he won't even tell him exactly where he's going. How many know such is the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Typically, God calls us by steps. How many of you have ever wanted the whole picture to what you're to do with your life at one time? I think Christians get confused. At times, they've been talked about vision or purpose or where they're going or what they're doing. And we start to think somebody's going to know it all tomorrow. How many know we're not going to know what we're supposed to do tomorrow, but whenever we need to know, God will guide us and show us where to go. How many of y'all believe we have divine leadership by the Holy Spirit? Somebody say amen to that. See, one of the first things God tells Abram, and I think this could be a blessing to many people in the room, is he tells him, you need to get out away from your family, away from the friends that you have. How many know some of your friends are incredible, are great people? How many know some of your friends and family, though, might be holding you back in areas of your life? How many got some friends that are pushing you forward? But how many got some friends that if you're honest with yourself, they might be holding you back? Think about this. Abraham's family, they were idolaters, living in a godless society. God said, what I got to do is I got to get you away from these people. I got to get you moving forward. I got to pull you off of this herd because you're with a group of people that are thinking cursed and living cursed. And I got to get you to a place where you can think blessed and you can live blessed. So what I want you to do is I want you to go to a land that I will show you. I want you to leave those people behind. I believe this. A lot of self-help guys have been saying this for years. Jim Rohn, I think, is credited with this quote. He says, your life will be the sum total of the five people that you hang out with. You show me your friends, and I will show you your future. You show me the people you give your ear to in life, and I'll show you they're shaping who you are. I'll give you an example of this. How many of you have ever watched a movie that had more language in it than you should have watched? Some rough language. Come on, don't lie. We're in church. I know you're lying to me right now. Liars go to hell, you know. Come on. How many of y'all ever watched something like that? I have two. And the only time I've watched it is when Jesse's not in the room because Jesse's the Holy Spirit. And I got to turn that off. And I'm like, thank you for reminding me that I shouldn't watch that. But how many know if you watch that and it gets real rough and there's a flow of it in a movie? Now, I'm not tore up by that. I mean, it's funny. It's like I'll be riding with people somewhere and they don't know I'm a preacher. And they'll be saying all kinds of things. And then at the end, they'll ask me what you do. And I'm like, man, I don't want to tell this guy what I do now because it's going to freak him out. So what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a pastor. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said this and this and this. And I'm like, man, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. One time years ago, I was a caddy in college. I carried golf clubs. And I carried golf clubs to make money there in college. And I'd carry, it was a tough job. I was about 100 pounds thinner then because you'd carry two golf bags for 4 hours. That's a round of golf. Sometimes I would do that for 8 hours a day. I'd do 2 rounds a day. Now, I made more money caddying than I could make pastoring forever. But I was caddying for this guy. We take off down the first hole, and he's like, Brian, you want a beer, man? Can I buy you a beer? And I'm like, no, thank you, sir. I'm good. I got a water, but thank you. And we get a few holes later, and he pulls out a flask. He's drinking whiskey. He says, Brian, you want to hit this flask? You want a shot of whiskey? I'm like, no, man, it's hot. I'm good. I don't want a shot of whiskey. We got a few holes further down, and he looked over at me. He said, Brian, man, you want to smoke a joint? And I'm like, I guess I look like a pothead. I'm like, no, man, thank you, but I don't want to smoke a joint. Smoke them if you got them, but I'm out. And we got to the end. I put his golf bag up in the trunk of his car, and he says, Brian, let me ask you, what are you going to school for? And I said, well, I'm a theology major. He said, you know, I was just kidding about that joint, right? I was just kidding. I'm like, oh, sure, you're kidding, right? I know you're kidding. It's just people get freaked out like that. But there is a truth. Who you hang out with begins to shape you. How many of you ever seen that in teenagers or young 20-somethings' lives? How many ever seen the good kid go crazy and lose his mind? How many know he didn't do that in isolation, right? He did that because he was influenced. And if you listen to the bad stuff long enough, you watch those, this is just a simple example that I don't harp on. So I like movies as much as you do. We're doing a series based out of movies next week. But I don't know if you watch something that's like that, you watch it far enough, good Christian, spirit-filled, Bible-quoting people, somebody pulls out in front of you in traffic and you're like saying things you hadn't said in 20 years. Right? Why is it like that? Because the environment influences us. So God speaks to Abraham and says, you're going to leave that environment. Just look at your neighbor and say, you're going to leave that country. Just tell them that today. Come on, tell them that by faith. You're going to leave that country. You're going to go to a land that I will show you. All right, here's what God calls Abraham to do. Abraham is literally going to walk out into a desert. He's going to walk out into a desert simply by the voice of God. He's going to leave a metropolitan area. Walk out into a desert with nothing but here and his family. Here's the first blessing, and the blessing of Abraham is this. It's divine leadership. Everybody say divine leadership. Man, the Holy Spirit was going to lead Abraham. And if you look at Abraham's life, it wasn't all perfect. He fought some wars. He had some familial problems. I'm telling you, people came against him. He had trouble on the inside, trouble on the outside. But every step of the way, God was there leading him and guiding him. And I'm going to tell you, born-again believer, the same blessing that was on Abraham's life in the book of Genesis is on your life. The same blessing that will lead you through hard times. The same blessing that will lead you through the good times. The same blessing that will show you where to go. It's on your life. It's the Holy Spirit. Come on, we ought to give God a hand clap because his Spirit is leading us. And God us. You ought to thank God today for the Holy Ghost because you don't have to walk alone anymore. You don't have to wander in the dark anymore. You've got a leader in him. Somebody say amen to that. See, God says to Abram, you're going to go, and I'm going to show you where to go. That's the way it works. We never know where to go when we start. We just get started. If I can encourage you as a pastor, just get started. You don't need all the answers. You don't have to know where to go. I'm telling you, I don't have all the answers. If you're here because you think I have all the answers, you're in the wrong place. Now, I know preachers and leaders all over the world, they don't have all the answers. Man, and there's nobody that has all the answers. But how many know we all know the one that does have all the answers? And he's on the inside of us. And he'll show you where you should go. The New Testament says it like this. I hear the voice of the good shepherd and no other voice shall I follow? I hear the voice of the good shepherd, and no other voice will I follow. I hear the voice of the good shepherd, and no other voice will I follow. I hear the voice of the good shepherd, and no other voice will I follow. I hear the voice of the good shepherd and no other voice. Somebody say no other voice. Come on, say no other voice. You ought to say no other voice. No other voice will I follow. See, that's a promise of divine leadership. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. The Bible says he'll take you by the right hand. He'll lead you. He'll say unto you, fear not. So here's the thing as a Christian. Listen, Abram didn't even have the scriptures. Father Abraham didn't have any scriptures. He's just following a voice. Is anybody out there thankful that we have the Bible? We have 66 books inspired by the Holy Spirit, man confirmed by miracles and confirmed prophecy. This is wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. It is the voice of God. You can take it to the bank. Come on, give God a hand clap for the written word. We have the written word of God. So I know truth. Why? Because I got truth right here in front of me. So I don't get up in the morning wondering if I'm going to go to work, right? Because the Bible says if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Bible takes care of that. 99% of my life is, I'm told what to do by the word of God. I don't wake up in the morning wondering, hey, am I going to sleep with a woman that's not my wife today? I don't wake up in the morning wondering that. Why? Because Jesse would murder me. She would have me assassinated, right? And I want to live. I got a lot of life in front of me. And really, the Bible says this. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Everybody say it's written. All right, so that makes all those decisions for me, most of them. How am I going to live? How am I going to interact with people? All that's written. So the Bible tells me that if I find a wife, I find a good thing in favor with the Lord. But how many know the scripture doesn't tell me the name of my wife? The Bible tells me that I ought to work. If I won't work, I can't eat. But how many know the Bible doesn't tell me exactly what occupation I should go into? So who fills in the gaps for us, the believer? The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. Now I'm telling you, he will show you things to come. I'm looking at the Hamiltons right now back over there. I got a couple sets of them, Brad and Jen. I talked to y'all last week, guys. I'm sorry. I'm talking past you. But Brad and Jen, I feel like there's like the leadership of the Holy Spirit that's going to come and talk to you. And there's going to be some comfort that comes into your heart and mind about some things. And that the Spirit of God's just over the course of the next few months, there's going to be divine leadership and divine blessing. And that blessing of Abraham is going to start to manifest itself in a brand new way, in a brand new season. I declare his leadership's in your life. Man, it's going to be a great couple months. You ought to thank God for it right now. Come on, we got a God that's going to lead us, going to guide us supernaturally. But we got to let him. We put the car in drive, and then he tells us where to go. And I just start moving, because God said, go to a land I'll show you. And you start moving, and along the way, God will guide you. Tell you, be friends with this person. Stay away from that person. Come on, this partnership's all right. This partnership's not. Spirit of God's typically saying things like this, get in church and stay in church. Come on, somebody. Now, sound like Jesus? Sounds like Jesus. Spirit of God will lead you. Now I'll tell you, whenever I followed him, you have divine leadership. It's part of the blessing of Abraham. It's part of being a Christian, that divine leadership. And a lot of things will try to knock you off course from God. I'm telling you, God will start leading you, and the devil and the world and hell and his angels and everybody else, the old people that used to influence your life, even yourself, your flesh, try to knock you off course. Whenever I stay on course with his leadership, my life flourishes. Whenever I disobey, how many know whenever he's telling me to do something, he's not trying to keep me from something fun. He's trying to keep me from something that'll hurt me, guide me towards blessing. Give you an example. Tell you, I'll close with this story. Just God's providence and him trying to help you in life. Years ago, me and Ben, we were getting into an airplane. Little four-seat plane. We were flying over to Charlotte to a church. And I sleep better in an airplane than I sleep on the ground. So as a pastor, you know, Paul talked about his great concern for all the churches that he planted. Part of the yoke of being a Christian leader is there's a concern for people. You carry it with you. It doesn't hardly ever get all the way off of you. And it's there in the back of your mind all the time. It's like that, the great concern. And the only time I know I can't do anything for anybody is when I'm up in the air. I'm traveling somewhere to preach. I'm asleep. I can't help anybody. It's all on you. When I'm in the air, it's on you. You're going to have to believe God for yourself, pray for yourself, help yourself, right? And so it comes off of me and I can sleep. I never get freaked out on an airplane. And I go to get in this little four-seat plane, and I'm getting in the back. And when I get to go in it, the Spirit of God, I believe, is on the inside of man. Everybody say, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. And my spirit man, I go to get in this little plane, my spirit man jumps. Like doesn't say anything but jumps. I'm uncomfortable. And I step back and Ben looks over me and he's like, what's up? I'm like, I don't know, man. I feel weird. I can't get in this plane. And so I ignore it. I'm like, well, the Bible says I'm protected. I'll be fine. I'm so stubborn and stupid. God's trying to protect me. And I'm like quoting scripture against God trying to protect me. And so I go to get in the plane a second time. My spirit man jumps. I'm like, I look over at Ben. I'm like, man, I don't know that I can get in this plane. He's like, well, don't get in the plane, Brian. You know, he's no sweat off his back. And I go to get in a third time and I get in the plane. I'm like, I got to get out of this plane. Y'all got to let me out of this plane. And I get out of the plane before we take off. They're looking at me like I'm cracking up, you know, and they're like, I'm crazy. And finally, I'm like, oh, it'll be all right. I'm acting silly. I get back in the plane. I sit down. We go to take off and we're going down the runway and we get right to where the plane's starting to lift. You know, lift's kicking in. All of a sudden, the front landing gear on the plane breaks right, and it jerks hard right. The pilot that was flying has his mouthpiece in. He starts talking in tongues. And I'm like, I'm all for praying in tongues, but when my pilot feels like we need to, how many know we got problems right now, right? So the thing takes off. It goes right up in the air. And we're up in the air, and our landing gear is broken. And Ben's looking at me. I'm looking at Ben. I'm telling you, when you're in an airplane, you don't know if your landing gear is going to work. You get double right with Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. I'm like praying. I'm repenting for things I did when I was 4 years old. I'm like, I called my brother a name when I was four. Please forgive me, Jesus. And I'm quoting scripture. I'm praying. I got 10 minutes. I'm asking God to save me and forgive me. Both of us are. It's silent, pretty silent. You can hear us praying, though, in the spirit and stuff. And then we go and we land. God has mercy. The thing straightens out. The plane lands. Come on, give God a hand clap for being merciful, even when you didn't listen. Let's really give him a hand clap for his mercy this morning. Amen? How many know so many of us don't listen, right? He's merciful anyway. He's a merciful God. So we land. We get out of the plane. Ben looks over at me. He says, next time God's trying to tell you something, would you tell me? That's what he says to me. So mad. So we got in a car and we drove to Charlotte. Amen. All right. Here's the deal. You listen to the Spirit of God, life goes easier, doesn't it? If you resist his leadership, things get tough. It's really what it's out. Listen to the Spirit of God, life gets easier. Resist his leadership, and life gets tough. Now, I'm telling you, the curse of the law is broken off your life, and the blessing of Abraham now rests on you. Would you stand up on your feet? I want to proclaim over you. I want to speak a blessing over your life today. As your pastor, as the leader of this church, I'm going to agree with the scripture over your life. And I'm going to speak the blessing of Abraham on you. All right, it's already on you if you believe by faith, but I'm going to agree with it. If you close your eyes for one moment, those of you that are comfortable with it, you might lift a hand to heaven right now. Get ready to receive this blessing. I'm telling you, God has blessed you supernaturally. Right now, Father, I declare over my brothers, over my sisters, I declare over this flock you brought together, your people. I thank you that nobody had the power to redeem them, but you came and redeemed them. Lord, I thank you that there's no curse on their life, that the curse is absolutely broken. And right now we agree with the scripture and we speak the blessing of Abraham over their life. I declare you're blessed by God, that the blessing of Abraham is on you. I declare you're anointed to win. I declare you're empowered to prosper. I declare you're impossible to curse. I declare God's hand is on your life and that you are blessed with believing Abraham. Now, those that are of faith, they are blessed. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed by God Most High. We speak it over your life. Now, I declare God's going to take you and make you great, just like he made Abraham great. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap today. Is anybody thankful for God's blessing on their life?